Okay, let's learn. We need a Yeshua, that's for sure. Okay, let's learn. We have over here, this year is a very unique year. Why is this year very unique? Because this year, Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Now, Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, it presents a whole series of halachic issues. And if you remember how many years this happened, a number of years ago, I don't remember exactly, what was it? I remember 13 years ago? I think it was 13 years ago, was the last time Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos.
13 years ago.
13 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it presents a whole collection of challenges and a unique way of entering into Pesach. Now first, let me start with a little bit of a drush. Little drush. Some want to tell us that we have a Chazal, and the Gemara says that if only Klal Yisrael will observe two Shabbosos, miyad nigolim, they will be redeemed immediately. What does that mean? So there are different interpretations, but some want to suggest that it refers to the year, a year when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, because we do know that Pesach is called Shabbos. How do we know that? It says, regarding Sfiras HaOmer, or the bring of the Omer, Mimocharas HaShabbos. The Pasuk explicitly says, on the next day, after Shabbos, the Pasuk calls the first day of Pesach Shabbos. Mimocharas HaShabbos. Shabbos is also for sure called Shabbos. So it comes out that this year we have two Shabbosos back to back. Shabbos is Shabbos, and Sunday is called in the Torah Shabbos. So they're both called together Mimocharas, because Mimachras HaShabbos. So this year, Chazal, if only Klal Yisrael will observe two Shabbosos, Miyad Nigolim, so someone is saying, Al Derech Drush, it's an Eitz Rotzayn. A year, like this year, where the first day Pesach is immediately after Shabbos, meaning Erev Pesach is Shabbos, this is what it means. When the Klal Yisrael will observe two Shabbosos back to back, miyad nigolin, they will be redeemed immediately. Now we know we don't take these things literally, it's only Jewish, but we do accept this, that it is an ace rotzayn. It is a time of divine favor where we something different. But anytime you have something different, it's a wake-up call. Now is a good time to get serious, to reflect, to pay attention. Maybe through our machshavos, our teshuvah, our ma'asim tovim, things can change.
Rabbi Levine, for the better, just a raya or sigaremis to what you just said. I don't know where you're getting it from, but whatever. Miyad negolin, miyudalid.
From yudal, yudalid and tezvav. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Now there's another very beautiful drush from the Chassam Sofer. It's a very popular drush from the Chassam Sofer. The Arvola Hashem Minchas Yehuda V'Yerushalayim. The Chassam Sofer, I believe he says that, what is the Haftorah? The Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol. It's from Malachi. Malachi, the last of the Tre Asar. We didn't learn that yet. Where it mentions, Hinei Anochi Shalech Lechem Eis Eliyo Hanavi, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hara, I will send you Eliyo Hanavi. And the Haftarah begins with the Haftarah begins with the Pasuk, V'Arvo LaHashem, will be pleasant to Hashem, Minchas Yehuda V'Yerushalayim, the meal offering, or the gift of Yehuda V'Yerushalayim, Ki Mei Oilam U'Cheshanim Kadmonios, like the days of old and the previous years. Now, we lay in this Haftarah every single year on Shabbos HaGadol. The Chassam Sofer writes that, I don't know if he's saying this on his own or he's citing a source, but the Chassam Sofer, that there are those who only recite this Haftarah on Shabbos HaGadol when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. In other words, in a regular year, you do not read this as the Haftarah. You read whatever the Shabbos is, whatever parasha you're reading, that's what you read for the Haftarah. If it's Parshas Tetzaveh, if it's Parshas Ki'arav, it can be Tetzaveh, Parshas Vayechi B'Kudei, Vayikra, Tzav, Shmini, whatever it is, whatever the parsha is, whatever it can possibly be, you read the regular Haftorah. But when it happens to be that Shabbos is Erev Pesach, that's the only time you change the regular, you substitute the regular Haftorah for the Haftorah, the words of Malachi, the Arvah L'Hashem Minchas Yudav Yushalayim, and you conclude with the pasuk, "Hinei Anochi Shloach Lechem Eisel Liyohanav V'Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGodol V'Hanayra." Why? Why should this be the only Shabbos when we read this Haftorah? The Chasam Sofer says something very beautiful. He says, the first year when Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, the very first, called Pesach Gilgal. In Tanakh, there are only seven times we have a record that Klal Yisrael offered the Korban Pesach. Seven times. Thank you for the coffee, Rabbi Mordechai. Thank you very much. Thank you. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech olam shakol niyah bidvaroi.
Amen.
There are only seven times in Tanakh where there's a record of Klal Yisrael offering the Korban Pesach. First is the Pesach Mitzrayim. The second is the second year in the Midbar. And the third of the seven is when they went into Eretz Yisrael called Pesach Gilgal. The first stop that Klal Yisrael had in Eretz Yisrael was Gilgal, they put up the Mishkan for 14 years in Gilgal. So it says there in the Torah, they brought the Korban Pesach. That year, the very first year when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, what day of the week was the first day of Pesach? Sunday. And that means Erev Pesach was Shabbos. How do we know this? We know this from Moshe Rabbeinu's death. Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar, and we know that Moshe Rabbeinu died Friday Bein Hashmoshes, going into Shabbos, basically Friday. Hashem buried him on Shabbos. We say Tzidik Adin, Tzidkoscha Tzedek Le'olam on Shabbos. This is the tradition. Friday/Shabbos. If Zayin Adar is Friday, then do the math. The result is the first day of Pesach is Sunday, which means Erev Pesach was Shabbos, Pesach Gilgal, when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. That was a very special Pesach that year, because that was the Hevesi. That was the Shlemus. That was the Shlemus of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That was the real Shlemus. The Yitzesi, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti, the Hevesi. I will bring you into the land. Okay, that was when you come to the Hevesi, it means you've concluded the Lokachti. That was a very special year. There was another very special year in the history of the Jewish people, and that is the first, that was when they put up the Mishkan. When they put up the Mishkan, Chazal said the day they put up the Mishkan, that year received 10 crowns. It was the purpose of creation to bring Hashem's divine presence into this world permanently, to create a permanent abode for Hashem's presence. Chazal tell us that Aleph Nisan, in the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim, was a day that received 10 crowns. What that means, I have no idea. Chazal tells us what the 10 crowns are, but obviously it means that this was, the world was waiting for that day to celebrate a home in this earthly world for Hashem's divine presence. What day of the week was Aleph Nisan? It's Ferish in the Gemara. It was Sunday. Why Sunday? It was the anniversary of the creation of the world. The world was created on a Sunday. I know today it's hard. Sunday is not a working day for most people. Sunday is sleep late, you daven late. But Hashem was very busy on that day. Hashem was busy on Sunday. He was creating the world. He created the world. Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es haaretz. You try that on a Sunday morning. See how far you get. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world on Sunday. And therefore it was appropriate, the Gemara says it was appropriate that the Chanukas HaMishkan, the Mishkan went into full operation on Aleph Nisan was on a Sunday. It's explicit in the Talmud. Thus, if Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on Sunday, when is Erev Pesach? Shabbos. Shabbos is then Erev Pesach. The 14th day is Shabbos. And that means the 15th day of Nisan is Sunday. So this is what the Chassam Sofer says. There are two very special days in this world. There are two very special years, special times. That was the first time they brought that. And now let's step back for one moment. That was the first time, by the way, they offered the real Korban Pesach. Because the Korban Pesach they offered in Mitzrayim wasn't a real Korban Pesach. It wasn't a real. Why was not a real Korban? Because it was in the Chutz Li'aretz. It was in Egypt. It was a little bit different. You took the said. There were many differences between the Korban Pesach of the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Korban Pesach of the Mishkan. The time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they took the seh. They had to tie it to their bed for 4 days, and they had to wear their shoes. Kocha toichlu oisai, makelchem b'yedchem. Your makel is in your hand. Na'alechem b'raglechem. You have to wear shoes. You have to hold your makel. Is there a din when it comes to today? Bizman hazeh, you have to wear your shoes when you eat the Korban Pesach. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as wearing shoes when you eat the Korban Pesach. There's no such thing bizman hazeh, holding in your hand your stick, your makel, when you eat the Korban Pesach. You don't take the blood of the Korban Pesach. I've never seen someone take the blood of the Korban Pesach and smear it on their doorpost. You don't do that. There's no din of taking the blood and smearing the doorpost. It was a different type of Korban Pesach. It was Chutz Li'aretz, v'chulu v'chulu. So the first time Klal Yisrael brought the Korban Pesach the way we are supposed to bring the Korban Pesach was the second year from Yetzias Mitzrayim, 14 days after they erected the Mishkan, the Chanukah Samishkan. And the first Korban Pesach, what day of the week was it? Sunday. Which means, when was Erev Pesach? Shabbos. The next time we have a record in the Torah that Klal Yisrael offered the Korban Pesach is Pesach Gilgal. And when did that happen? Sunday. And when was Erev Pesach? Shabbos. Now, by the way, the Klal Yisrael offered the Korban Pesach for the 40 years in the desert? Doesn't seem so. Strange. Why not? Did they? Did they not? It's a big mystery. Machlokes Rishonim. Did Klal Yisrael offer a Korban Pesach for the remaining 39 years that they were in the desert?
Why wouldn't it be assumed?
What? Why wouldn't it be assumed? Because I don't know. It's a good question. I don't have all the details in front of me, but it's a very big mystery, and there are different opinions. And some I think the major opinion is they did not, because they didn't do bris milah. Because most people were not willing to be moiser nefesh to do bris milah, because to do bris milah you need to be in an environment of wind. You have to have fresh air, and in the desert they were locked up in the Anani HaKavod. They were sheltered. And the thinking was, it was pikuach nefesh to do on their children bris milah. And if you don't do bris milah, if you have a child, you're not allowed to bring the Korban Pesach. That is the common understanding. Some want to suggest that's not necessarily true. B'nai Levi were meiser nefesh to do bris milah. They did bris milah. They did bring the Korban Pesach. Okay, this is not our topic, but there is no mention of any Korban Pesach being offered by Klal Yisrael for 39 years in the desert. We find them bringing Korban Pesach
on this. They didn't have matzot.
So where's the matzah? Where's the maror? They're able to grow maror in the desert. You have the matzah and maror. Okay, these are all big questions. Okay, these are all big. These are all part contributing to the mystery of what exactly, how did they live during those 40 years? Why couldn't they have matzah? Why couldn't they go and buy grain from the goyim? It says in the Chazal they purchased things from the people that were traveling in the desert. They went to the stores. They were able to go Amazon Prime, drones. Drones dropped right down, right where they needed it. So they go. They can go online and buy some shatzah matzah. You know why it's called shatzah matzah? because it was shattered. Shatz and Miloshin shattered. When the drone, Amazon Prime drone, dropped it, it broke. So that's how it became Shatz and Matzah. For Doris. In any event, all kidding aside, in any event, that the next time I mentioned the Torah that there was a Karim Pesach was the Pesach Gilgal. Yeshua was Mal Klal Yisrael. They came into the land. They had no mon. The mon stopped. They took from the harvest of the land, and they baked matzos, and chadash, a whole story. How could the matzos still chadash? Whatever the case is, and they had the Pesach in Gilgal. So the Chasam Sefer says, look at that. The two most significant celebrations of Pesach in the Torah was the very first Pesach, meaning when they had the Mishkan, and when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. And both of them were celebrated on Sunday, which means it was an Erev.
How did they get matzah mora and Gilgal as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael?
That's the kasha. Having matzah was not a problem. They had grain. It was grain, and just harvest the grain and make matzah on the spot. The question was, it was chodosh. The question is that until the offer of the Omer the second day, it was Chodosh. Okay, so that's the seventh. Okay, that's the seventh point. But in any event, it says the Farish in the Pasuk, Klal Yisrael offered a Korban Pesach in the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim in the Midbar, 14 days after the Chanukah San Mishkan. And it says the Farish in Sefer Yoshua that they offered a Korban Pesach in Gilgal. And according to our calculations, the Chasam Sefer says both of these pivotal events took place on a Sunday, which means that Erev Pesach was Shabbos. And the Chasam Sefer goes on to say that's what it means. The Arva LaHashem, may it be pleasing to Hashem. This is why the Chasam Sefer says that's why you're only supposed to say this Haftorah. We do it all the time. But he says that Mi'ikar Hadin, this Haftorah, was only meant to be said in a year like this year, where Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, because this year we are really saying to Hashem, V'orva LaHashem Minchas Yehuda V'Yerushalayim, it should be pleasing before you. The Mincha of Hashem and Yerushalayim, the offerings, Mincha, you can maybe homiletically suggest it means the matzah that accompanies the Karban Pesach, whatever it means. V'Yishem Kimei Oilam U'Cheshanim Kadmonios. What's the repetition? Kimei. He says May means the day of the week. The day of the week, like it was in the Shanim, the years, Kadmonios, our earliest years recorded in the Torah is the first Pesach and the second Pesach, which is the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Pesach Gilgal. Those are the Shanim Kadmonios, which took place Kimei Oilam, which took place on the day of the week. Mei Olam means the day of creation, the day that the Olam, the world, was put into existence, on Sunday. Ki Mei Olam, he interprets to mean, homiletically, like the day. It doesn't just mean days of yore, days from time immemorial. It means the day of the week in which the world was put into existence. The world came into existence Sunday, which were events that happened on Shonim Kadmonios in our earliest years of our existence. The two pivotal Korbanos of Klal Yisrael that we began with, Pesach Midbar and Pesach Gilgal, took place on Sunday, which means Erev Pesach was Shabbos. So when you say the words of the Haftorah, V'yarvo LaHashem, may this year, may it remind you, Hashem, of the glorious days of Jewish history, Pesach Midbar and Pesach Gilgal. Those were the Shanim Kadmonios, those 2 years, which occurred on Yemei Olam, Sunday is called Yemei Olam, the day that the world came into existence. What?
Why do we say this pasuk by the end of Shemoneh Esrei every day?
You can say whatever you want. You can say any pasuk you want. We said that there are many reasons. I ain't pointing the Torah. But this is what the Chassam Sefer says, why we select, why Me'ikar Hadin, this section of Tanakh, of Nach, of Malachi, was selected to be read on Erev Pesach Shechal Lihiyos B'Shabbos. If it's not Erev Pesach Shechal Lihiyos B'Shabbos and it's Shabbos HaGodol, just read whatever it says in the back of the parasha, in the Chumash. Read the regular Haftarah. We don't do that. We always read. That's not our minhag. No one's minhag. Our minhag in the modern world, in the global melting pot, we read the Arva L'Hashem Minchas Yidov Yerushalayim every year, no matter what, on Shabbos HaGodol. But the Chassam Sefer says that's not the way it was supposed to be. And he explains this pasuk in this fashion. And it's very beautiful. And it gives you an entire a whole new flavor to the significance of this year. And then others go further to say something, another very beautiful point about this Haftarah. The very last pasuk is, Hine anochi shalech lechem eis eliyana v'lifnei bo yoyim Hashem ha-godol v'ha-noira. Now there are many Mamar Chazal that contradict one another, but after all the dust settles, you cannot ignore the fact that Chazal say that Pesach is a zman mesugol for the coming of Mashiach. The first day Pesach, Shlachno biyatishloch. The Geula Hoasida will parallel the Geula from Mitzrayim. The Geula Mitzrayim took place on Tes Vav bin Nisan. The Geula Hoasida will take place on Tes Vav bin Nisan. And what is the Geula? We define the Geula as meaning the coming of Mashiach. The Gilui of Mashiach will take place on Tes Vav bin Nisan. And what does the Pasuk say? We spoke about this regarding Chabad. How can you say the Rebbe is Mashiach? Where is Eliyahu? He ne'anochi shalech lechem eis Eliyahu hanavi lifnei boy yoyim Hashem. Remember we had this discussion? The Pasuk says explicitly that Eliyahu hanavi will come before the Melech HaMashiach arrives. We are in a world where we are demanding, we want Mashiach now. No, there's a process. You should be singing, we want Eliyahu now. Mashiach can't come unless Eliyahu precedes him. One of the complaints against Lubavitch is, and I'm talking about, you know, people that are the extreme element, how could you say a person is Mashiach? In order for there to be Mashiach, you need Eliyahu to come before. Who then is Eliyahu? If you want to tell us that this person is Mashiach, you have to also tell us who is Eliyahu. He ne'anochi shalech lechem eis Eliyahu hanavi lifnei boy yoim Hashem.
Ha-gadol
v'yamara.
What? Didn't Rabbi Kiva think that Makoich was Mashiach?
So it's a good kasha. It's a very good question.
So who
was Eliyahu Navi? I don't know. And when he said that he thought he was a Mashiach, it doesn't mean it's not likely he meant that he was Mashiach the same way people say today about living people that they're Mashiach. He meant something, whatever it means, it's not a topic. They have an answer for this. They have an answer that it's not Mukhuch that has to be. They have a lot of answers for this. They're very well aware of this question, and they have a lot of good answers for this question. But
what was the main Taina against the
Shabsai Tzvi? Shabsai Tzvi. Who's Eliyahu Navi? How can you be Mashiach without Eliyahu Navi? Follow the rules. Follow what?
I always thought the answer was because two Mashiachs. So Mashiach Yosef doesn't beat Eliyahu Navi.
So you want, that would be an insult to the Rebbe to say he's only Mashiach ben Yosef. I don't want to make jokes over here. Let's not.
That on one side he's from Yosef.
It's both. The synthesis.
He comes from both.
All right, this father, you're treading on very dangerous, very like dangerous ground here. This topic. I'm not chashal. The Lubavitch Rebbe is a kodosh v'tar. I would go kiss his toenails. I have no problem. I'm a chassid. I have no problem. I'm not going over here. This is not our topic. But the point over here is, it says in the pasuk, "Hinei anochi shlochem eis eliyona v'lifnei bo." So then now we have a, here's the question. There's a beferish of Gemara that says Eliyahu HaNavi will not come Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. You know why? Because if he shows up, they'll say to him, "Listen, Eliyahu, we're busy today. Come back tomorrow." because Shabbos, I have to go to the bakery, I have to go to the butcher, I have to go to the mikveh, I have to go get ready for Shabbos, like a shower. You know, timing, Eliyahu, come on. You know, now is not the time to come. Come back tomorrow. Come back at a time when you're in the way. Really? Eli, as far as I'm concerned, you can come right. You can come in the middle of 3 o'clock in the morning. You can call me. I'll be fine with Eliyahu HaNavi coming. Whenever he wants to come, I'm ready. But the Chazal actually say this. Eliyahu HaNavi will not come Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, because we're busy. We're busy making preparations. So here's the question. We have a contradiction. We have a Chazal that tell us that Mashiach will come on Tes Vav Nisan, the same way the first Geula came on Tes Vav Nisan. We exited Egypt. The Exodus took place on Tes Vav Nisan. Our Exodus from Golis will occur on Tes Vav Nisan, which means Mashiach will arrive. So that means Eliyahu HaNavi has to come Erev Yom Tov. But there's another piece of Gemara that says Mashiach cannot come on Erev Yom Tov, especially not Erev Pesach, where you have a Tainus Bechorim, and you have to burn the Chametz, and you have to do your last minute shopping, and you have to get to the hotel on time, and you have to pick up the clothing from the cleaners. There are a lot of things you got to do Erev Pesach. That's the worst time for Eliyahu HaNavi. And the Gemara says he's not coming because we're busy. He's not coming to be Matriachas.
There's travel restrictions this year anyhow. If you're not coming.
It means this year, Adarab. So what's going on? We have a contradiction. So long come the Mefarsh may say, you know what the answer is? The only answer is he will come in a year when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Because then we're not busy. Because then everyone is in lockdown. Shabbos, you're not going anywhere. Shabbos, there's no flights, there's no traveling. You are in lockdown on Shabbos. So no one, everyone's very willing that Eliyahu HaNavi can come to every single bris, he'll come to everyone's house. He'll come to your house to be Mavasar, the Geula Hasidah. He will come. So you can. This is the year when you can fulfill what it says in the Gemara without any contradictions. Hinei onoichi sholeach lachem eis Eliyahu HaNavi lifnei bo Yoim Hashem. Oh, but he can't come Erev Yom Tov. If Mashiach is coming on Tes Vav on Sunday, so that means so Shabbos is Erev Yom Tov. No, he can come on an Erev Yom Tov Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos because we're not busy. We're not torud in preparations. All the preparations are done. So this year is a year where it's smooth. All the questions fall away. We have two Shabbosos back to back. We have Eliyahu HaNavi can come without any difficulty. And that's why this year is a very special year. All of the Bali Machshava and even the Bali Halacha, they tell us, reflect. Don't let this year just pass you over, pun intended. Don't let a Passover that falls out where the Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, don't let it be like an ordinary year. It's a very special year. It's something different. And when something is different, especially where you have so many Mamari Chazal, which enhance the uniqueness of it being different, it's a time of divine favor. It's a time of rachamim, a time where a person can, if he applies himself, he can achieve results that he would not ordinarily be able to achieve, both on a personal level, and hopefully as we come together as a tzibur, we can accomplish great things. That can be, it's a wonderful time of rachamim. The Klal Yisrael never needed so much rachamim. Never needed rachamim like we need now. We need rachamim. And the world needs rachamim. The world is falling to pieces. The world needs rachamim. And it's a time of rachamim, it's an eis rotzayin, and it's worthy to stop, to reflect, learn the halachos, and appreciate every little unique event that will occur this year that ordinarily we never come in contact with. The halachos are unique, and it opens up, when anything is new, it opens up a whole new channel, a whole new appreciation of what is this all about anyway? What is this topic all about anyway? And this year is a perfect opportunity. Because that's our hakdama. Now let's jump into, we'll have to pick and choose what we're going to talk about. Let's talk about Tainas B'chayrim. Now the reason why I want to talk about Tainas B'chayrim today is because I want to really go back to Purim. I want to tell you something very interesting, a she'ela that was being thrown around on Purim, which became, it's interesting, there's certain things that take on a life of their own. And for some reason, this thing I've heard from so many people, they keep on mentioning this, and I really think it's very relevant to Erev Pesach, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. Now what am I talking about? This year, Purim was on Friday. Now for us, you know, there wasn't all that much of a difference, except for the Seuda. The Seuda goes into Shabbos. Okay, that was definitely unique. I never knew there's such a minig in Klal Yisrael that Kabbalah Shabbos in a year like this is a very different type of Kabbalah Shabbos. I don't know if, I'm not familiar, did any of you go to shul Friday night after their Seudas Purim? Mark, did you go to shul? You went to shul, so what was davening like? It was just regular? Regular. Okay. Well, where I davened, it was not regular. The people where I davened were in full costume. They all dressed up like Hasidim. They had costumes for Purim, and then for the Friday night davening, they were all like Yerushalmis, like Hasidim. You know, you have a costume for the weekday, and a costume for Shabbos. And they were definitely not sober.
A theme.
They were definitely not sober, that I can tell you. And it was quite a thing to see how they daven Kabbalah Shabbos. And unfortunately, how they did not daven Ma'ariv properly. And, all right, listen, none of my business. By the next morning, you wouldn't even have known anything happened. It was business as usual, but it was quite an experience Friday night. Someone even told me said to me, you know, your brother, I have a brother in Lakewood, you know, your brother, you know, he normally drives to shul Friday because it's an 18-minute walk. So he says, so, you know, I want to let you know something. Your brother, he did not drive to shul Friday night for Kabbalah Shabbos. Your niece drove him to shul. Dai l'cha b'chakima v'ramiza. You understand? That's what he says to me. Which basically means my brother was not sober Friday night in his shul at Kabbalah Shabbos. Whatever that means.
Did he make it back home?
I hope so. I don't know. I didn't hear about going home, but someone told me, I just want to let you know, you should know that when he didn't know, normally he drives. You know, he normally drives to shul Friday night, but he didn't drive this. He was driven. He did not drive. Why did he go to shul altogether? Let him stay home. Well, ask him. In any event, that's not our topic. There was something else that I want to talk about. I'm getting sidetracked. And that is, in Eretz Yisrael, it was what's called a Purim Meshulash. And in Yerushalayim, the day that ordinarily they lay in the Megillah is on the 15th day of Adar. This year, the 15th day of Adar is Shabbos. So the Bnei Yerushalayim have a problem because they're supposed to lay in the Megillah on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to lay in the Megillah on Shabbos. Why not? Shema Ya'avirena Dalid Amois Birshus HaRabim. You may come to carry the Megillah Dalid Amois in the Rishus HaRabim. Now you'll say, does Yerushalayim have a Rishus HaRabim? I don't think so, not on a deraisa level, but I guess midrabanan, they're all the dinim midrabanan. Do they have an eruv? They have multiple eruvin, but still, the halacha is the halacha. That doesn't change, even though there's no Rishus Sarabim in Yerushalayim, and even though they have multiple eruvim in Yerushalayim, the halacha doesn't change. It's an incredible, incredible chiddush. And therefore, Ad Hayayim Hazeh in Yerushalayim, they do not lain the Megillah on Shabbos. Shema Yavirenu Dalid Amos Birushus Sarabim. Even though it's not even possible for that to happen, not biblically for sure, and not even rabbinically, but the halacha remains. So when then do they lay the Megillah in Yerushalayim this past year? On Yud Dalit, on Friday, like all of us. When do they have their Su'udas Purim? On the 16th day, the next day, what would be for them Shushan Purim. That's when they have their Su'udas Purim, and they lay the Megillah. This year they laid it on Yud Dalit, which makes this year a very unique year, because the whole Klal Yisrael was bi'ichud, achtos, mifuzar u'mifarad bein ho'amim. In a regular year, we lay on Yud Dalit, and in Yerushalayim, they lay on Tesvav. We're not practicing the same religion. We're doing it on one day, and they're doing it on a different day. At least a regular Yom Tif, we also do it on the day that they, we just have Sveik of the Yoma, we do it 2 days. On Purim, it's completely separate. The day that we do it is the day that you do not do it. And the day that you do it is the day that we do not. You're not yoytze the mitzvah. Hai l'chud v'hai l'chud. There is complete separation, exclusively, it's mutually exclusive. The fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's a bracha levatala. To say a bracha on the Megillah for us on Tezvav and for them to say it on Yudalit. And then if you want to go back to the time of the Gemara, there were people who lay in the Megillah on the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. People who were not able to hear the Megillah on the proper day because they don't have anyone to lay in for them. Today this doesn't really apply. Doesn't seem this applies. Maybe it does. I don't know. This doesn't really apply today, but that's a different topic. But this year, the whole Klal Yisrael was be'achdus. Everyone lay in the Megillah on day 14. Now here's an incredible chiddush. They say this over, I have it in writing. Actually, someone sent me a WhatsApp with a photocopy of the Teshuvah. I have it in writing. If anyone wants to see it, I can show it to you later. Rabbi Shloimeh Zalman Arbach, Zeche Tzadik Levracha, was asked the following question. He gave the following psak. Let's say you go to a shul, beautiful shul. Let's say, for example, you have 500 people in the audience, and you have a master, Baal Kriya, loud voice, doesn't make a mistake, medaktik, he lanes the Megillah, this make-believe, a theoretical case, this year he would lane the Megillah on Friday, like he's supposed to, Friday night, Friday day, and everyone is listening, they answer Amen, they listen to the Megillah, and then, towards the end of the day, Loyaleinu v'loyal Yisrael, the Baal Kriya, passes away. 120 years old, his time comes, he dies. He leaves this world. And now he dies, let's say, right before Shkia, a moment before Shkia. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach Paskind, supposedly, and this is in writing, supposedly, all 500 people that attended his Kriya Samagila at night and by day were not yoytze the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. They were not yoytze. Amu'uvas she'eino yachol l'skoin. And there's nothing they can do about it. What? How could you say they were not yoytze? They went to shul, they made the brachas, they answered amen, they listened to every word. Just because the Baal Kriya dies, by the end of the day, they're not yoytze? Can you say such a thing? What's the lumdis? The lumdis is, when are these people supposed to lay in the Megillah? 15. That's what it says in the Megillah. It says in the Megillah, a city that's Mukav Chema Mimos Yoshua Benon, and Yerushalayim is included in that. Mishum Kavoido Shal Yerushalayim. They're supposed to lay in the Megillah on day 15, period. No ands, if, or buts. That's the day This is your day. Don't make any excuses. This is the day you're supposed to lay in the Megillah on day 15. This year, you can't do it. You can't do it. You're an oynis. Oynis, Rachmana Patre. Why? Because Shema Yavi Renu Dalet Amos Bereshus HaRabim. So what do? Well, when it comes to Megillah, there's a principle that if you can't lay in the Megillah on the day you're supposed to lay in, you can lay in it earlier. We have that when it comes to Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. That's the very first Mishnah Masechta Megillah. That if a person lives in a village out in the middle of nowhere and you don't know how to read the Megillah and you need someone to help you, so what do you do? So the only time a person can come lane for you is on a day before Purim, 2 days before, 3 days before. This is an exception. An exception to the rule, you can lane it early. So therefore, here's the lumnus. Just like when it comes to people living in the villages, you can lane it earlier. You can lay it on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. It's a gzeres hakosav. We learned this halacha from a pasuk in the Megillah. So to the people who live in Yerushalayim, even when they're supposed to lay in the Megillah on day 15, in a situation where they can't lay on day 15 due to circumstance, because of the halacha, you may come to carry the Megillah in the Rishus HaRabim Dalet Amos. So in this year, you are just like the people who live in the villages. You can lay it a day earlier. You lay it on Friday. You lay it on Friday. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, what's the ulam? You have to be a bar, but you have to be a bar chiyuva. In other words, the lumdus is your true obligation first begins on day 15. And once you reach that day of obligation, then retroactively, then you can trigger the retroactive fulfillment of laying the Megillah on day 14. But if you never reach that moment of day 15, you were never obligated to lay the Megillah. So you can never say retroactively, my early reading of the Megillah was valid. You never had a time in your life where you had a true obligation to read the Megillah. If you live in Yerushalayim, And your obligation is on day 15. You have to wait until day 15 arrives. Oh, but day 15, here I am. I've arrived. It's day 15. I can't lane today because the rabbis told me you may not lane on Shabbos. What am I going to do? Well, did you prepare in advance? Did you lane yesterday? Just like the people live in the villages? Yes, I did. Very good. So now what you did yesterday is effective. But you must enter the zone. You must enter the zone of your obligation, which takes place on day 15. And now retroactively, what you've did before is valid. I have this in print. Shocking, right? This is a shocking chiddush. Go to shul and about kriya lanes the Megillah perfectly, and you listen. And if that Baal Kriya dies before the day is over, I'll tell you, what happens if he's drunk? What happens if he gets so drunk? Ad lo yoda shichrusoy shaloit. He's part of Mikol HaMitzvahs. Someone that's so intoxicated, what happens if he's so intoxicated? He's knocked out the whole Shabbos. You can probably say the same thing. He's not a Bar Chiyuva. He's not a Bar Chiyuva on Shabbos. So then you don't trigger the retroactive obligation ability to lane it on day 14. And if he is not obligated, he cannot fulfill, he cannot be moitzi all of the listeners.
There's no voice coming out of here.
Mayor, you don't hear me? Ablaze, do you hear me? You hear me? It's good, okay. Mayor.
I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you.
Mayor, it's working.
No voice.
Mayor, you have to adjust this out. Mayor, if you hear me, okay. So this is an incredible chiddush from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So someone told this over to Rabbi Avraham Shur Shlita. here on Avenue in Coney Island, and he just categorically said, he's an awesome, awesome Talmud Chacham, I'm sure, if you know, he's like off the charts. And he said, impossible, this is a lie. It is impossible that he said such a thing. There must be some misunderstanding. There is no way this can possibly be true. Okay, so we'll leave it with that. That's not the point I want to leave. This is what he said about it, and people have been fighting about this whole thing. There's a lot of very interesting lumdis. Question. This is a very nice lumdis for the people who live in Eretz Yisrael. Do we in Chutz La'aretz ever have such a situation where we can fiddle theoretically with this lumdis? And I want to suggest to you that there is such a case. This year, Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, regarding the Tainas B'Choyrim. Now there is a minhag from time immemorial. This goes back from the earliest, one of the oldest minhagim. Is it a takana? I have to go back and do, we have to research what exactly is the din of Tainas B'Choyrim, but it's the real deal. Tainas B'Choyrim is not a lightweight matter. In fact, to a degree, it's much stronger than Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther, it's very vague. Why is Tainus Esther on the date of the 13th day of Adar? It's a big topic. How did it get there? What exactly? We either gave a whole shiur on this. We have 5 reasons for Tainus Esther. Okay, that's a separate topic of discussion, and maybe if you want, you can add that to the equation. But one thing is for sure, Tainas B'Choyrim, whether it is a minhag, whether it is a takana, whether it's a halacha, it requires a study. The Rambam, by the way, does not cite anywhere Tainas B'Choyrim. That's one of the big mysteries about Tainas B'Choyrim. The Rambam omits mention that the firstborns should fast Erev Pesach. The other Rishonim do mention it, but not the Rambam. Why didn't the Rambam mention the fast day, Erev Pesach, for the firstborns? But the simple understanding is, there is a halacha, that the firstborn should fast Erev Pesach. Why? Simply because they were in Sakana. V'yavarti bi'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh, Erev Pesach, when you bring the Korban Pesach, you sacrifice Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, and it's a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is posach ala Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and he wiped out every firstborn, and the Mashchis was present, and the Mashchis, the Malach HaMavis was permitted, it had the ability, if it so wanted to harm the firstborns of the Jewish people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Berachamav prevented the Malach HaMavis from taking the lives of the firstborns of Klal Yisrael. And we live the experience. Chayev Adam L'Harois HaSatzma Kilu Hu Yatzim HaMitzrayim. And therefore, every firstborn is in danger. Every firstborn, when you wake up in the morning, Erev Pesach, when the clock ticks 12, you wake up.
It's so important. Why do we dismiss it as unimportant and make a seum and not fast?
Okay, that's another issue. That's another, yes, why do we just dismiss it by being a first, by being a seum and just pushing it away? Okay, whatever it is, but it's a scary thought. Person wakes up, a Bukhar wakes up in the morning, Erev Pesach, look at your watch, Cinderella. When it's 12 midnight, poof, goodbye. Right? Chatzos. V'yavarti b'eretz Yisrael, count down until it's all over. So it's your last day. It's the last shachris. It's the last time you're going to walk down this block. Last time you have to make your goodbye calls. Make sure everything is in order.
12 o'clock midnight was
midnight. That's right.
Tezvah,
but it's you wake the day to a degree. You know, there are two ways to look at a day. Especially, you know, the day is a night, but there's also something to it of tonight. It's tonight. A person wakes up in the morning and he goes to sleep at night. There's something to that also. This is his last day on this world. Because tonight at 12 o'clock, Chatzos, it's over. Every Pesach, we relive the experience. Chayev Adam Lirois Es Atzmo, or the Lashon of the Rambam, Laharois Es Atzmo, Ki Ilu Hu Yotza Mimitzrayim. That includes everything. You're reliving the experience. Every firstborn is shaking in his pants. It's my last day today. I better do teshuvah. It's all over. When is that day, Rabbi Yisrael? That day is Erev Pesach. This year, when is that day? Shabbos. On Shabbos, are you allowed to fast? Maybe you should. Maybe the fast is so important, it should override Shabbos, just like Asar B'Teves would theoretically override Shabbos. For whatever reason, Chazal said, listen, don't get carried away here. It's a very important fast. Don't make light of it. But we don't want you to fast on Shabbos. We don't want you to fast. So you know what? Fast on, what would you say? Fast on Friday? Why not, right? Why not? No, Chazal said, we don't want you to fast on Friday either. It's Erev Shabbos. It's Erev Yom Tov, so to speak. So you know what? Fast on Thursday.
Erev Shabbos, you do fast on Erev Shabbos.
Yechidim, they're not going to a Tainus Sira on Erev Shabbos.
Yeah, we're just saying Tainus Bechorim in the years where
it comes. Oh, right, Shabbos, very good. In a year when it comes out on Shabbos, you do fast, correct. Right, then you would fast, correct. So fast on Friday. This year we don't do that. It's very interesting because this year, once already, it's not the real deal. Baruch is saying that in a year when Pesach, the Seder is Friday night, the firstborns do fast on Friday. They do fast. So this year, when the Seder is Mitzvah Shabbos, and we're pushing back the fasting, so let's push back the fast to Friday. Because anyway, we fast Tainus B'Chorim on Friday. No, that's not what we do this year. The Minhag Yisrael, not everyone, but probably 95% at least, fast, they observe Tainus B'Chorim on Thursday. We push it back. We push it back. So here's the question. Here's the question. Now, you're going to laugh at the question, but let's say, I'll show you some practical nafkaminas. Let's say a person, no, there are no nafkaminas, I take that back because this is a theoretical question, but let's say a person, he fasts on Thursday as a zecher for the Tainus B'Chorim, and he doesn't make it. He doesn't make it to Shabbos. He leaves this world before Shabbos arrives. Does he have under his belt credit in heaven? I fast, and this is like, you know, the question sounds like a joke almost, but does he get credit? There could be more serious nafkaminas, but does he get credit for observing a tainus b'chorim if he never actually arrives to Erev Shabbos? The trigger to fast is on that day. Now, this is why I let me explain something. There are other fast days that we have. We have Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Teves and Shavuos B'Tammuz. We don't fast those days. We don't fast when they come out on Shabbos. We don't fast on Shabbos. We push it even Friday. We push it back. That's not a kasha. Because those fast days are not, they're not tied to the calendar. You push it forward. You're not makdim put on us. You're not makdim correct. You push it fine. You push it forward. Right. That's correct. Also why it's not relevant. That's also why it's not relevant. Exactly. Because it's all, it's not retroactive. Right. You're saying very good. I was thinking, well, the other thing was like let's say Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther, we do push back. Okay, that's maybe what I was thinking about. Tainus Esther. The other fast days, you never push back. You push forward. So you're not going to ever have a situation where you can retroactively go backwards. But let's discuss for the moment Tainus Esther. Okay, Tainus Esther. What about Tainus Esther? Tainus Esther, let's say Purim comes out on Sunday. When do you observe Tainus Esther? Thursday. So you can say, oh, the same thing. If a person fasts on Thursday, and he doesn't make it to Mitzvah Shabbos, and doesn't make it when should really be, when should Tainus Esther really be? It should be Shabbos. So you're fasting on Thursday. Whole fast day goes by. Then comes Friday. And then the person leaves this world before Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh is the real day for Tainus Esther. Oh, so you're going to say, oh, look at that. He never made it. He never made it to the Ikar HaZman. So there was never a trigger to go back retroactively. That's not correct. Because Tainus Esther is not that type of fast. Tainus Esther is not necessarily anchored in a day. It's not anchored in a day. There's a minute to select a day. You pick a day to fast as a zecher for Esther, whatever it is. There are different, we had a whole discussion. It's not 100, but there are many reasons for this fast day, and it's not necessarily anchored into a specific day. This is not correct, but theoretically, let's say make-believe there would be, you would have such a situation, make-believe doesn't, where you would take one of the Dalit Soymais, the four fast days, let's talk about Shavas V'Tamuz, Tisha B'Av, and you would go backwards. It also would not be relevant, because those days are also not anchored in a day. It says in the Pasuk, V'Tzoyim HaRevi, V'Tzoyim HaChamishi, V'Tzoyim HaTeshihi, and HaShavi, V'Tzoyim HaAsiri. Me'ikar HaDin, you just need to take any day you want in the month. One day in that month. Chazal specified which day they want. And today it's only a minhag. It's not even Ikar HaDin. It's only a minhag. Tisha B'Av is a little bit more stringent. Even the Dalit Soymos are not anchored in a day. However, Tainas B'Choyrim is anchored in a day. You can't say it's not. Again, the Dalit Soymos, again, it's not relevant. But it's the Tzoym HaRevi'i, the month. A day in the month. That's the Ikar HaDin. Tainus Esther for sure is not. It's not from the Nevi'im. It's from the Chazal. It's a minhag, and it's not anchored in a day. In fact, that's not the way they did Tainus Esther years ago. They did Tainus Esther. They did it during Adar. They did a Bahab. It became standardized. We do it Erev Purim, whatever it is. But Tainas B'Choyrim, today is the day you're going to leave this world. It is anchored in the day. A Bechor wakes up in the morning, Erev Pesach, guess what? Cinderella. When it's 12 midnight, I'm out of here. The Mashchis is coming. Chayiv Adam L'Harayis HaSatzmai. Today is the day. So Chazal said to you, listen here, calm down. Calm down, you're not going nowhere. You're not going nowhere. Let's not get carried away over here. But we still want you to preserve the tainus. Don't just this year forget about it. So when should I do it? I'll do it Friday. No. Once already you're not doing it. See, it goes to prove my point. Once you're not doing it bo bayom, so just do it whenever. Do it on Thursday. And we go backwards. We're going backwards. We're not going forwards. We're going backwards. So now the Shaila is, it's a crazy question I'm asking you, but I'm playing around. I had an nafkamina. I forgot what the nafkamina was. Something more practical. Maybe it'll come to me in a moment. But just like in Eretz Yisrael, they're playing with this theoretical question. If the Baal Kri would not make it into Shabbos, so you can't go backwards. Do we in Chutz La'aretz ever have such a Hechet Imsa? Well, maybe we do. When it comes to Tainas B'Choyrim, which is clearly anchored in the day of Erev Pesach, and we this year observe the Tainus on Thursday, and of course we don't fast, you make a Siyum, okay, you make a Siyum to break it. What happens if a person doesn't make it, he doesn't actually make it into Shabbos? So does that mean that he lost out the last day of his life? He lost out on a delicious meal. He'll have what to think about in the next world. He lost out. There was absolutely no need for him to fast because it never was triggered. Won't be a nafkamina, a little more serious nafkamina, a bar mitzvah boy. A boy who becomes, this doesn't really make sense, a boy who becomes bar mitzvah, a boy who becomes bar mitzvah on Shabbos, a bechor. So he becomes bar mitzvah on Shabbos. So he's chayiv in fasting, right? He's chayiv to fast. When is he chayiv to fast? On Shabbos. Oh, I got to plan ahead. Ezeo chacham horoyes anoylat. Shabbos, I'm going to be bar mitzvah. And if I'm going to be bar mitzvah on Shabbos, I have an obligation on Shabbos to fast. I wake up Shabbos morning, it's the last day of my life. My bar mitzvah is the last day of my life. I got to fast. I got to fast. No. Shabbos, you don't fast. So what am I going to do? Friday. No, not Friday either. Thursday. But Thursday, I'm not bar mitzvah. So what? You're not bar mitzvah. You got to do something, even when you're not bar mitzvah, to prepare, because that obligation will never go away. Maybe the bar mitzvah boy, you think of it like this, the bar mitzvah boy will have to fast after Pesach is over. You can't fast in Chodesh Nisan, but you can fast in Chodesh Iyar. Let's say the bar mitzvah boy, what happens if a person, these are all very theoretical questions because we don't pass it like this. If a person on a regular year, he misses the fast, he just forgets. He wakes up in the morning, he doesn't go to shul, he's busy, he's working, he works, he has no choice, he has to go to work. Davin's at home, many people are like this. They don't have the luxury of going to shul every day. They get up in the morning, they daven at the kaisel. No, life, that's life. And they go to work, and they forgot, oh, today's their Pesach, I forgot, there's a tiny, I just totally slipped my mind. I thought all about tiny Bukharim. And you wake up the next day, Pesach, oh, I totally forgot about tiny Bukharim. What do you do? Do you have to, now you can't fast in Chodesh Nisan, but when it comes Chodesh Iyar, are you obligated to fast? I believe not. It's a very lightweight fast. If you miss it, you miss it. There's no tashlumen. When it comes to a regular fast, you should know there is tashlumen. The person forgets to fast Shavuos B'Tammuz, you're obligated to select a day and to fast that day. If you totally forget about it. If you potter, if you're not feeling well, then you potter. But if you just totally let it go by, if I'm not mistaken, you're mechuyev to make it up. Not the case when it comes to Tainas B'chorim. Let me just, a theoretical question. Let's make believe that you'll find a Pesach. In all theory, just Pilpul HaTorah. Let's say you'll find a Pesach. You'll find an opinion that says that if you forget to fast Tainas B'chorim, you have to make it up. Got to make it up. It's not so unreasonable. A child who becomes bar mitzvah this year on Shabbos, Erev Pesach, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, will he have to make it up? So you can play around all you want. First of all, the child can say, you know what? I'll do it on Thursday. Can what he does on Thursday, does it count for his obligation of becoming first bar mitzvah on Shabbos? Who says you can make up in a previous lifetime what you've done wrong in this lifetime? Does he have an obligation to do it later on? Maybe not, because the primary time to make it up would have been Thursday. If you have no obligation to do it on Thursday, you have no obligation to go do it in Chodesh Iyar, or maybe not. Okay, but the point over here is I'm just trying to play around the mafalpel with you, that this interesting question that has been floating around on Purim, and it's been written up, this awesome chiddush from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, such a thing in Eretz Yisrael, where you have such a concept of going backwards. The primary day of obligation is Shabbos. Because of a takana, you cannot lay in the Megillah on Shabbos. So they lay in the Megillah on Thursday. And the Baal Kriya lays for the Tzibur, and the Baal Kriya leaves the world before Shabbos arrives. Shlomo Zalman, it's in print. All of those people have not fulfilled that year the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. The mitzvah begins on Shabbos, and then you retroactively fulfill it when you've read it earlier. And since there is the person who read the Megillah for you was no longer in this world, he never had an obligation, so you were not Yotze the Mitzvah. Unbelievable, if such a thing can be true. Many deny he ever said this. Theoretically, is there a Hecha Timsa for us here in Chutz La'aretz? So I'm suggesting the closest thing possible, the closest thing you can get to this would be this year, Erev Pesach, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, when the day when we're really supposed to observe the Tainas B'Chorim is Shabbos, and that's the day. This is not like the Dalit Soymois, which have truly no day. It's to select a day in the month. We've standardized it by giving it a day, but that's not the Ikar Hadin. Tainas Esther certainly is not anchored to a specific day. But Tainas B'chorim is anchored to a specific day. And the proof is like if Baruch said, because if it was anchored to a specific day, if it was not anchored to a specific, well, I'll tell you that, but it's normally done even on Friday. Okay, like you said, it's normally done on Friday. Erev Shabbos. Why do you fast Erev Shabbos? If it would be that the Seder, Pesach, would be Friday night, you would fast on Friday. That violates the rule. You don't normally fast have a tinus on a mass scale on a Friday. No, this is the Etzem Hayoim Hazeh, like Asara B'Teves. So this year you can't do it. So what do you do when you can't do it? Backwards. Ooh, backwards. That's like Eretz Yisrael this past year. What will be an afkamina? Person doesn't make it. Does he get credit? That's a funny thing to say. We don't know how things work in Shemayim. That's a little ridiculous. But what about a bar mitzvah boy? What about a bar mitzvah boy? He's first going to become bar mitzvah. What about a ger? What about a ger? How do you look at the same thing? Ger and a bar mitzvah would be the same exact thing. A bar mitzvah boy, he becomes bar mitzvah on Shabbos. Now he has a chiyuv. He never fulfilled that chiyuv. There's no retroactive moment when he can say that he has fulfilled his obligation, unless you want to say that it's like the Twilight Zone. You can go back in time and fulfill your obligations even when you were not a bar chiyuva. Or maybe he has an obligation to fast in the future, or maybe not. Okay, so this is our little pilpul over here, what to do in such a situation. Now, by the way, I want to just bring up one last point in 2 minutes, one last point that was something very interesting about Tainas B'chorim, which this year we don't have. Learning Daf Yomi a couple of days ago, about two weeks ago, Ari Pesachim, in the shir where I was learning, came out with a very big chiddush, a deek from the Rashbam, very, very fascinating chiddush, which is extremely relevant to this year. And that is, there's an inyan of not eating. It's built also part of Tainas B'chorim, not to eat Erev Pesach, or to eat less, whether you're fasting, not fasting, you're Bechor, not a Bechor. So the simple reason why we don't eat, why people are instructed to eat less food on Erev Pesach, it's not just because to save room for the big meal, the Shulchan Aruch, but it's because we want you to eat the matzah b'te'ovon. B'te'ovon, an appetite. Delicious to relish the matzah, the chavivus of the matzah. I can see Abuchal smiling, he's eating a spelt matzah. You have spelt matzah ready to go?
No, it's not spelt. It's oat matzah. I don't have it yet, but
oat matzah.
It's horrible.
The oat te'avon.
I have no te'avon.
So that's what you're supposed to do. Te'avon. So we had a diyuk from a Rashbam, an incredible chiddush to say such a thing. We know that on Pesach we live the experience. Chayiv adam lirois es atzma kilu yatzim emitzrayim laharis es atzmai. A slave, matzah on the one hand is gilui shchina. We say matzah zush anoich l'mashama. It's a simon of gilui shchina. We did not have enough time to bake. To let the dough rise until Hashem revealed Himself to us. Okay? But there's another element in matzah. It's called lechem oini, the bread of a poor man. It was slave food. They served this to slaves. Slaves are always hungry. Slaves by nature are hungry people. We had a diuk from a Rashbam. The reason why you're not supposed to eat Erev Pesach is to relive the experience. Become a person who is hungry. There's a difference between eating food b'tei avon and being a person who is hungry. You can be, I'm not hungry, I'm satiated, but I have an appetite. I have an appetite to eat, but I'm not hungry. I'm not a beggar. I'm not homeless. And then there is a higher level. It's not just that I have an appetite. I am a beggar. I have recreated the situation, I've stepped in the shoes of my ancestors. They were beggars. They were hungry people. They were starving for a piece of bread. It's not just that the bread is the same matzah, zu, hol achma anya, the achola avosona be'ara de mitzrayim. It's not just the cheftza. The cheftza. This is the bread, poor man's bread. You have to make yourself into the poor man. I'm a beggar. I'm starving. So Makkah, so this year, it's Shabbos. So normally in a regular year, part of the element of the firstborns, at least, they are able to do this because they're supposed to fast. Me'ikar had a cop-out. Today, every firstborn makes a siyum. We're weak. We've been doing this already for hundreds of years, making a siyum. But that's not the way it was intended.
Why?
Because we're weak. We're weak people. We're weak. Shach mentioned. But originally, it was meant to be you should fast. Why? Pashup shot. You know why you fast? Why the firstborns fast? You know why? Because today is my last day on earth. But there's another reason why the firstborns fast. They represent the upper crust of society, the Kohanim, the Bukhar. The Bukhar represents the Bali Avoida, who was supposed to be Avoida. They have an obligation not just to eat poor man's bread, to make themselves into that ani, to make themselves, their guf, into a gavra, who is an ani, to really relive the experience. Here I am, I'm starving. It's a normally Shabbos, now they're going to Shabbos starving. It's a zilzel for Kedusha Shabbos to go into Shabbos starving. Pesach night, it's not Shabbos. Pesach night, yeah. You go into the Seder, I'm starving. Because you're reliving Yitzias Mitzrayim. You are that ani. You are that beggar. I'm hungry. And what are you giving me to eat? I'm giving the beggar slave food. That's the real reenactment of Yitzias Mitzrayim. How do you do that this year? Not so simple. Because this year, it's Erev Pesach, Shechalios B'Shabbos. You can't do that this year. It's impossible to do that this year. And that's what I want to suggest to you is it's an Eis Rotzon. Because this year Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, I don't want you to be beggars anymore. The halacha is changing the whole nature of Pesach. In a regular year, when you reenact Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Lel Pesach, you have the option, you have the ability, and you have even the obligation to a degree. We don't do this anymore. To make yourself into the real thing. Because you know why? This is what Golus really is. We are beggars. We're homeless. And it's not just the cheftza, the matzah. It's the gavra. You come into Pesach night. I'm starving, just like my ancestors. But when it's Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, the Ribbono Shalom is saying to you, no more. It's a different Pesach. It's a different Pesach. I'm arranging it such that it's a different Geula. It's a Geula. You're coming into the Geula as B'nai Choyrim. You're coming into the Geula as people who are satisfied. It's a whole different type of experience. when it's Erev Pesach Shechal Yais B'Shabbos. You come into the Seder satisfied. B'Teyavon. You come in B'Teyavon, but you don't come in as a beggar. A different Geula. It's a Geula in a different plane, a different dimension. Okay, we'll stop over here. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you for coming, listening. Be well.